He was just captured by that. Couldn't escape. And so even Bali Maharaj was being apparently unreasonable. But still the Lord wouldn't do anything else. Only what Bali said, because of Prahlad. Yeah, so, Narada Muni. Oh. Having explained all these things. This is also not there. Incidentally, this is from verse 4 to verse 14 in the book. Verse 4 to verse 14. So Narada Muni, when he spoke all this, and he was just thinking about it all, and just, it was so becoming so vivid in his mind. Narada Muni, he started jumping and dancing and singing. And he said, I'm just going to stay permanently with you. Yeah, I'm not going anywhere. This is it. I've achieved what I want to achieve in life, your association. So I'm staying here. And Prahlad said, but I heard you got cursed by Daksha. You heard about that? It's in the fourth canto, Daksha. Or is it the sixth canto? Anyway, it's in the Bhagavad Gita somewhere. Daksha cursed Narada. Narada converted a whole lot of Daksha's sons who were meant to become progenitors and increase the universal population. But Narada preached to them and they became sannyasis on the spot. Thousands of them. So when Daksha came back and said, right, are you ready to get married and get into it? They just said, sorry. No thanks. So Daksha got so angry that he cursed Daksha. You won't be able to stay in a place for more than a few moments. So we see in the Bhagavatam, when Narada comes and meets someone and speaks to them, he speaks to them for a little while, then he goes. It's all because of this curse. So Narada said, when Prahlad reminded him of this, Narada said, no problem. You're so powerful that by your power, that curse will be overcome and we won't have to worry about that curse. So, like this, Narada was just so overwhelmed. So now we come over the page to number 3. Prahlad responds and denies everything. So this is now in the book. It's from verse 15 to verse 39 in Brihadbhagavatamrita, chapter 4. So, very respectfully, because Narada is his spiritual master, so Prahlad explains that, you know, in the end he says, you know, not only am I not the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy, I don't even have one atom of mercy. Not an atom. Nothing. No mercy. So here we see a number of reasons why Prahlad feels he doesn't have the mercy. So, actually, Prahlad was thinking, you know, my spiritual master, he's my spiritual master, why is he acting like this? Spiritual masters don't normally act like this with their disciples. Then he thought, I know, he's testing me. Then he thought, if he's not testing me, I mean, it's a really strange test. If he's not testing me, he's teasing me, just making fun of me. So then Prahlad starts, and this is the first point he makes, that when I was a child, You know, what can a child understand about devotional service? It's a science. There's so many shastras and reasons and, you know, intricacies, how to do it and how not to do it and what it's about and, you know, what it all means and so many considerations that you have to know in order to render devotional service properly, so it will actually be pure and free from all the various contaminations that there are in this world. So look, I was just a child. What did I know? It was just some childish sentiment. He said, just like children, they get attached to something sometimes. And you just can't get it away from them. Even though it's just some, you know, like some little petty fascination, that's all. There's no substance to it. So that's what it was like when I was doing my so-called worship of the Lord as a child. It wasn't real devotional service. Then he said that that really the way you get the mercy is by getting the instructions of great souls. I never had that. Maybe you could say within the womb I did, but what am I meant to understand when I'm a fetus within the womb? So I never got the association of great saints. So what's he saying? He's saying actually you're more advanced because you're one of these great saints who gives these instructions. And if I were to really become a recipient of mercy, I would have got some of your instructions. But I haven't seen you such a long time. And if, when I was at school, and, you know, some of the other children developed some, in a childish way, some semblance of Krishna consciousness, it was only because of the instructions you gave me in the womb, even though, you know, they didn't really register on me. So if there was anything Krishna conscious, actually, it was because of you. That's all. Not because of me. Yeah, so then he goes on. Let's see here. He says, well, he mentions in B that sometimes I remember the Lord within my mind, but it's only when I'm in difficulty. That's all. It's not that I sit there and I remember his pastimes and so on. It's only when I'm in difficulty that I remember the Lord. And he says, I'm not like Hanuman. He's giving a hint. Hanuman will be next. Yeah. I'm not like Hanuman. He's always serving the Lord and always chanting his names and remembering his pastimes and speaking about his pastimes. He says, you know, when the Lord caressed me, he said, I have heard from some great knowledgeable saints that it was just Maya. Because he's connected to the demons, sometimes some Mayavadis come. Yeah. So sometimes he gets the association of Mayavadis. So when that happens, and it comes up how Lord Nrisimhadev treated him, then the Mayavadis say, oh, just see what Maya is like. Yeah. It's not to be taken seriously. Or some of them who are not so much Mayavadis, they're a little more kind of personal, but not completely, they say, well, it was just a pastime, that's all. It was just a pastime. And then Prahlad reveals it's an important thing. And I don't think it's mentioned here, is it? No. He says, you know, if I got so much mercy from Lord Narasimhadev, why is it that as soon as the pastime was finished, he disappeared? And I haven't seen him since then. And then later on, I had to go to Naimisharanya because I was looking for him. So what sort of mercy have I got from him? I don't really have any mercy. Then Prahlad, it's referred to briefly in 3D. He explains why the Lord did some of the things he did, at least according to him. So he says that, you know, the Lord appeared. It wasn't to protect me. It was to uphold Brahma's benediction to Hiranyakashipu. That's why. Lord Brahma is dear to the Lord, and he said the Lord would appear under those circumstances, so the Lord had to appear. He appeared because of what Brahma said. And the four commands, previously, the four commands, when they were calling for the Lord to appear, the four commands said, he's going to appear. And when he does, he'll kill this wasp-like demon. So in order to uphold the word of the four commands, he appeared and he killed Narasimhadev. Not for me. Not for me. Certain ways like this. Oh, and he said, you know what, you know what the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, that Kanteya Pratijani hi name bhakta pranashyati, my devotee will never perish. Well, because the demigods were being so harassed by Hiranyakashipu, therefore the Lord appeared so that they wouldn't perish. Because we heard. Anyway. So these are different reasons presented by Prahlad why the Lord appeared, which have nothing to do with him. Nothing to do with him at all. So then he says, let's see, where are we here? Oh yes, this is E. He said, then the Lord gave me a kingdom. And in this way, I got materially entangled. If the Lord was really merciful to me, don't you know what the Lord says? That he who I am merciful toward, I take away his opulence. So the Lord gave me so much opulence. Obviously, I haven't got his mercy. I haven't even got an atom of his mercy. Shishi Radharadhanath ki. Okay. But there's still a few more reasons he gives. Oh, he says, because I'm in a demon family, we get the association of these jnanis. And as a result, I'm a mental speculator. Therefore, I decided to go to Naimisharanya and see the Lord there. It was just my, like a figment of my imagination. He said, the Lord, he became the gatekeeper of Bali, but he's always going away. He said, just because the Lord stays somewhere doesn't mean he's giving his mercy to the people there. He's in everyone's heart. He stays with everyone, but not everyone is getting his real mercy. Then he says, actually, I think I have got a little mercy, but it's only because the Lord has given me your association and you're my spiritual master. That's the mercy. That's the mercy. And then he makes, it's a point, it's very similar to the, it's the same point really, that practically the last point Lord Shiva made to Narada Muni, that the newer devotees, like Hanuman, they get more mercy. So then Prahlad, beginning from in the big book, beginning from verse 40, Prahlad starts to direct Narada Muni to Hanuman. So he explains, now let's see. Well, actually, it's still, the overview book is slightly mixed up there. If you look, it's still in 3, it's in G. It's actually like a change. This should really be number 4, where it says in the second line, but Hanuman is serving the Lord personally. From there on, it's now Prahlad glorifying Hanuman. So it's like a separate section, and I think this is sort of like a little bit of a mistake. And it explains here some of the things that are mentioned. Hanuman, serve the Lord personally for thousands of years. This is mentioned, it's referred to indirectly in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, in chapter 11. Although if you read it, you won't really see it directly, but Sanatan Goswami mentions it in one of the purports in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. That in the 11th chapter of the ninth canto, it is stated that Lord Ramachandra performed a fire sacrifice and various other auspicious ceremonies and so on for 13,000 years. So Sanatan Goswami says that the whole time he was doing that, Hanuman was with him for 13,000 years. So Prahlad, first thing he says is that, you know, the Lord appeared for a few minutes to protect me. As soon as he'd done it, he left. And I haven't seen him since. But Hanuman, he served his Lord face to face for at least 13,000 years. So he's got the mercy. With no obstruction, no interference, he was just with his Lord, just serving him in all ways. So he's really got the mercy. Then he explains some of the services that Hanuman did. Amazing services. He jumped over the ocean. He was able to pacify Sita, although it was practically impossible to do that. He burnt Lanka. Who could have done that? Destroyed Ravana's fort. And then he came back and he told Ram, I have found Sita. And Ram was so pleased, he embraced Hanuman. This is a famous pastime. Normally the Lord is the master. Hanuman is the servant on the lower position. But in this pastime, Ram was so pleased, he just grabbed Hanuman. Even though Hanuman was trying to pull back, the Lord just grabbed him and embraced him. So, what a devotee! What mercy! Amazing! So, little maybe touch more detail. When it comes to it, says here that he consoled Sita. Well, the point is, if you're going to console Sita when she's separated from Ram, then you have to be really a special person to be able to do that. You know, any of you who've had to counsel distressed devotees, like the temple president has to counsel distressed devotees sometimes. So, I mean, some devotees you can counsel and pacify. Some it's just, you know, gets too much. But Sita, what was her distress? Oh boy, that's just like the ultimate distress. But Hanuman is such a great devotee, such an expert devotee, he consoled Sita. By the time he finished, she was happy. So what mercy has he got? What sort of devotee is he? It is just, it's inconceivable. And then, yes, he carried Lord Ram on his back, saved Lakshman's life by bringing that mountain with the herbs on it. And he was so powerful and so dedicated that by his potency, he helped Ram become successful. And Ram credited him with that, that because of you, we've become successful. So, Prahlad is saying, Hanuman is the great devotee. He's got the most mercy. So, he says, this is now where we're about around verse 50 now, and it's not really mentioned in the overview book, but Prahlad tells Narada that Hanuman, even though Lord Ram was here a long time ago and then he left, and Hanuman has not seen the Lord for a long time, he's still waiting for him. He's still waiting. He hasn't given up. Now, how long ago was that? This is all taking place about 5,000 years ago, all these discussions. And I just checked the other day, in Krishna Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami discusses when did Lord Ram really appear. Some think it was just this trading yoga, just, you know, a mere couple of million years ago, just a little while ago. But Jiva Goswami says no. He says some of the authorities say it was in the Treta Yuga, in the 23rd cycle of the four yugas. One cycle is 4,320,000 years. We're now in the 27th, the end of the 27th cycle. There's only 427,000 years to go. So he says, Jiva Goswami says, some authorities say he appeared in the 23rd cycle. So it means, say, four cycles ago, you know, we're talking about 16 or 17 million years ago. Then he says, some other authorities say that Lord Ram appeared in the 18th cycle. So that's now 9 cycles ago. That's now 36 or 37 million years ago that Lord Ram appeared. And Prahlad says that the Lord told Hanuman, just wait, I will come back for you later. So Hanuman has been waiting for either, you know, whatever, 12 or no, 16 or 36 million years. This is what we call perseverance. So anyway, and Prahlad says that Lord Ram told Hanuman, you stay here, give your mercy to the living entities, and I'll be back sometime. And Hanuman, he would have died long ago, but he stays alive simply by hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Ram. If he were to stop for 1 minute, he would die. Plus, he has a deity of Ram, which he keeps with him all the time. In this way, he maintains his life and he waits. So, Prahlad then told Narada that you must go there. And Narada, he was so ecstatic. Off he went, and there in Kim Purusha Varsha, he found Hanuman. And sure enough, he was worshipping that deity and chanting the glories of Lord Ram. So, Narada came flying in, calling out, Jai Raghunath, Jai Janaki Kanta, Jai Lakshmanagraja, the elder brother of Lakshman. And when Hanuman heard this, he thought, oh boy, we have another Ram Bhakti here. Fantastic. Oh boy, he was so happy. He was so happy that he just embraced Narada around his neck and almost like crushed him. And tears were pouring out of his eyes. And he's just holding Narada like that. Narada's in such ecstasy, saying Jai, Jai, and dancing. But then Narada noticed all the tears. So Narada thought, he's such a great devotee, I have to serve him. So Narada was using his hands to wipe away the tears, but with his legs he was dancing. It says normally he would dance with his hands also, but now he was only dancing with his legs, and with his hands he was wiping the tears away. So then, let's see. So in the book, we're in number 4 in the overview book, and it's from verse 54 to 63. That they meet, and there's this ecstatic, meeting that they have. So then Narada Muni tells him, you are truly, he shouted to him, you're truly the dearest devotee of the Supreme Lord. Just by seeing you, I can feel I've become dear to the Lord. Hanuman stopped dancing and looked at Narada Muni. He became very sober and he said, you come with me. He took Narada into his little temple for his Ram deity and set him down. But Narada Muni, where are we now? We're in point 5. It's actually from verse 64 to 68. And Narada Muni sort of briefly glorifies Hanuman. A little on the brief side. And it's very briefly mentioned in the overview book that Narada tells him, "You are the Lord's friend, carrier, seat, flag, umbrella, general, and you're totally surrendered." He says some other things. He says that you have the Lord's confidence. Who else would he have sent to find Sita? So the Lord accepts you as his confidential associate. You got that special mission. It was entrusted to you. And the Lord gave you his ring to give to Sita. So, what mercy have you got? What great type of great devotee are you? Let's see. You are such a great devotee. You're greater even than Garuda. Garuda is an expansion of the Lord. But you're greater even than Garuda. And you have satisfied the Lord. Well, actually, not just satisfied. He says, you have delighted the Lord by speaking that famous verse, which is mentioned in Nectar of Devotion. And there, Rupa Goswami, in the purport, actually, to the particular verse here in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, then Sanatana Goswami, or maybe it's just Gopi Puranadana, says that Rupa Goswami does not identify this verse, but he just says it's a well-known verse spoken by Hanuman, which delighted the Lord. So the verse goes, how does the verse go? The verse goes, I don't want dharma. I don't want sense gratification, material religion. I don't want sense gratification. I don't want artha, the things which can give sense gratification. I don't even want liberation if it will interfere with my service to you. So Rupa Goswami quotes this verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and he says that this is a well-known statement. This is a well-known statement by Hanuman. And it delighted Lord Ram. So this brings us now to, in our overview book, number 6 at the bottom of the page. And Hanuman now responds. And Hanuman says a sort of heavy thing, actually. In fact, it's there in the overview book, point A. If I were really accepted by the Lord as his servant, then why did he reject me and leave me here? Why did he do that? The verse in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's a nice verse. I'll read the verse. Shri Hanuman Uvacha Munivarya Katam Srimad Ramachandra Padam Gujai Hinam rodai say dinam naishturya smaranena mam. Sri Hanuman said, O best of sages, why are you doing this to such a wretched person, devoid of the lotus feet of Sriman Ramachandra? Why do you make me cry by reminding me of how the Lord has neglected me? So he's sort of reproaching the Lord. He's a little angry. Yeah. And in the purport, I mean, it's there in your book if you've got the book with you. This is verse 70 in the book. In the purport it says, it's an interesting technical point. Hanuman refers to the Lord's lotus hands and lotus feet, not as two. In Sanskrit you have three sort of cases or numbers. One, singular. Two, for when there's two people. And then plural, for when there's three or more. In English we just have singular and plural. But in Sanskrit they have singular, dual, and plural. So he speaks of the Lord's lotus hands and lotus feet in the plural, out of extreme respect. Out of extreme respect. So then, the commentary says, the word hinam means not only devoid, but intentionally rejected. In the complex transformations of ecstasy, Hanuman lovingly reproaches Lord Ramachandra for being cruel. Then he refers to another word, naishturya. Technically, naishturya means hardness of heart. So here we see an element we haven't seen so far, that the devotee, it is there very slightly in Hanuman, this intimacy in the relationship with the Lord, in which the devotee sometimes may chastise the Lord or treat the Lord in a familiar way. It's there just very slightly with Hanuman. How? Because Lord Ram embraced him. Lord Ram embraced him. The master, in the relationship of the Lord with the devotee in Dasyaras, the Lord does not embrace the Dasyaras devotee. He gives his blessings and so on, but he will not embrace. So that embrace of Lord Ram for Hanuman, that, you know, added some extra special. It's like it is actually a hint of friendship. Even though Hanuman didn't really want it, he was backing away and feeling very embarrassed. But it added a tinge of friendship to their relationship. And in that little bit higher mood, now Hanuman, like that, that's something else altogether. We'll come to that in due course. But at this point, it's just a little element of that higher, more intimate mood. So Hanuman then. Hanuman, we're now going from, what is it, verse 69? 69 to 72. Oh no, sorry. We've moved on. Now Hanuman tells Narada Muni, you must go and see the Pandavas. Now actually, it's a Again, it should be a separate section if we're going to really, you know, in overview format, divide out when there's really a change of theme, all the different places. So, it's around point B then in 6 that Hanuman starts telling Narada Muni, it's the Pandavas. They've really got the mercy. You should see them. So you could maybe, if you want, just make a little note of that fact. So now Hanuman tells Narada Muni to go see the Pandavas. In the book, this is from verse 73 to 83. And beyond 83 even, but the initial part is from 73 to 83. So, Prahlad, Hanuman starts glorifying the Pandavas. They got the most mercy. Now, first point, which isn't mentioned here, he says, they really got the mercy. Why? Because they lost everything. They lost everything. They were exiled to the forest. And they had so many problems. Their father died. Shri Shri Radha Radhanath Ke. They had so many problems. So this was the Lord's mercy. And through giving them these problems, he gave them the opportunity to show their advancement to the world. The Lord used them to show what great devotees are like and how they are great devotees, what devotional service does to a person, how great devotional service is, because it makes people so high-minded and high-hearted like that. Then, what is mentioned here in the book, it's D in 6, although as we said, this should be a separate section, but he became their chariot driver, associate, their minister, their messenger. He became like their servant. And he glorified them. He would offer his obeisances to Yudhisthira whenever he would see him. So what sort of mercy have the Pandavas got? It's amazing. What would he not do for them? He would do anything for them. He tolerated Bhishma attacking him for Arjuna. And he broke his own promise. He promised not to fight, but then he fought for Arjuna. So, this is just amazing. These Pandavas are so great. And now, look at me. The Lord has been away from me for millions of years, but he's living with them. He's living with them in Hastinapur. And sometimes they go and live with him in Dwarka. So what mercy! They're getting the real mercy. Oh, and interesting little point made here. If the Pandavas must know some magic, they have some mystical power, and they've bewildered him, and now they're controlling him. But actually he says, I know what that magic is. It's their love. They're such great devotees. So Narada Muni, having just heard that, he became so enthusiastic, said, right, let's go. Let's go. And anyway, but then Hanuman spoke further. Narada Muni wanted to go. This is around verse 80 or so. But then Hanuman said, no, I want to tell you more. He said, All the calamities they faced were blessings because they made the Lord more anxious to come and deliver them. And their love, their mutual love was so great, the Lord forgot, they all forgot all about etiquette. They didn't care. They would sit together and play together. They just went beyond all etiquette because of the mercy and because of the love that was there. So then, let's see. Hanuman. Yeah, Hanuman says, the bottom of the page there, I think I'm very fortunate for two reasons. Bhima is my brother. Arjuna keeps me on his flag. I'm lucky. It's my good fortune. So then, now if we go over the page, I must admit, here, the rest of the description in the overview book, it is a bit vague. It's a bit vague. Narada invited Hanuman to go to Ayodhya. Well, he didn't really. He invited him to go to Hastinapur or Dwarka to see the Pandavas with Krishna. Not to Ayodhya. And Hanuman initially said, right, let's go. I'll go with you. And we'll go and see the Lord. Because Krishna and Ram, they're the same. So I'll be reunited with my Lord again. It'll be, you know, it'll be the same sort of. Very enthusiastic. So they're about to leave. Suddenly, Hanuman became very thoughtful. He said, no. Well, this is actually there in point 7, vaguely. Hanuman refused due to his fear of committing offense. Hanuman said, you know, I'm a monkey. Sometimes I just get carried away and I just do silly monkey things. So I don't think I should go. Because the Lord, you know, his pastimes, Krishna, they even bewilder great sages, even sometimes people like Lord Brahma, because he stole the cowherd boys. So what would they do to me, a monkey? I wouldn't be able to understand. Then he became even more thoughtful. He looked at his deity, and actually it'd be nice to read the verses. They're very beautiful verses in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. They are, let's see, from about verse 100 to verse 109, more or less. Hanuman expresses how he doesn't want to go. He says, I must wait here. He may call me at any moment. I must be ready. Of course, he's been waiting for anything between 16 and 36 million years or something. But he's just so dedicated that he thinks, he may call me at any moment. I must be ready for his call. Then I can respond immediately. So it's like, it's very touching actually. Hanuman expressing his feelings. He says, I will just stay here and worship him in his deity form and think about him. That's what I'll do. And be ready. Because he told me to wait. He said, I'll come back for you after a while. So, Narada then prepares to go to Dwarka, Hastinapur. But it's not really so clear here. I mean, it's kind of indirectly mentioned. Actually, Hanuman warns Narada Muni. He gives a warning. He says, when you go there, you'll see that these Pandavas are householders. And they have so much opulence and so on. But don't underestimate them. He said, this Yudhisthira, because he, the two of them, Hanuman and Narada, they're both brahmacharis. So he's just saying, you know, in a Varnashram sense, sometimes the brahmacharis look at the householders and think, attached householders. He says, don't think like that. You know, Yudhisthira is only ruling the kingdom as a service to Krishna. Otherwise, he's always talking about how nice it was when we were in the forest. Why don't we go back and visit the forest again? It was really, those were our happiest days. Yudhisthira is thinking like that. Yudhisthira is so great that even though his fame is known throughout the three worlds, and he's greater even than the demigods envy him. But he's off. First of all, he's only got it by the mercy of Krishna, and he's offered it all to Krishna. And he's not attracted at all. And he's surrounded by his wife and his brothers, and they have a very intimate relationship. Why? They're dear to him because they're such great devotees. That's all. He knows they're dear to the Lord. Therefore, they're dear to him. So like this. Sri Sri Radharadhanath Ki. Like this, Hanuman convinces Narada Muni, right, next stop will be Hastinapur. Okay, now I should just mention that in terms of our seminar, we are about halfway actually, or maybe we're slightly over. Anyway, we're around halfway.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So what we'll be doing then is we have three more chapters to cover, and we will cover them tonight and tomorrow night, unless they're something unexpected occurs. I'll try and move through these chapters a little more quickly, and in this way try and make a point of finishing everything tomorrow night. So tonight we're going on to chapter 5, and I'm intending to go halfway or so through chapter 6, something like that. We'll see how it goes, but this is the intention. So again, we'll be working basically from this overview book and going section by section, basically, through trying to bring out the main themes and main subject matters without going into all the details of each verse. So, no doubt you recall that on Friday, Thursday, Hare Krishna. Thursday evening. Thursday evening, we went through chapter 4, and there we met Prahlad Maharaj and heard some of his glories and heard some of his humility. And then he sent Narada Muni to Hanuman. So, and in fact, it was the day before Hanuman Jayanti, wasn't it? So that was very appropriate. So we went there to Kim Purusha Varsha, and we met Hanuman, and he expressed a little bit of that loving reproachfulness towards the Lord, not being just you know, apparently at least, in that totally humble mood, ready to accept anything. Of course, he is in that humble mood, but now the feelings of love are manifesting in stronger ways and not pushing away the humility, but it's just that in the context of the humility that some other more intimate moods start to arise. So therefore he felt slightly cross with Lord Ram. He just left me here, and I've been waiting and waiting. So not that he was really cross, as we know the term, but in a mood of transcendental love, there was some emotion like that. And Narada Muni glorified him. He, of course, argued against those different glorifications, and then he said that if you want to know who has really got the mercy of the Lord, in other words, who is really the greatest devotee of the Lord, or devotees in fact, well, it is the Pandavas. It is the Pandavas, because Hanuman said, the Lord is hardly with me. He hasn't been with me for such a long time. Although I'm waiting, he told me to wait, so I'm waiting. And I expect him to come sometime. But the Lord is with the Pandavas so much of the time there in Hastinapur. So that brings us then into chapter 5, where Narada Muni, dancing in ecstasy, goes to Hastinapur, and he's so enthusiastic. He just races and dances in. So, yes, this is there in our overview book, part 1, chapter 5, Dia. So, of course, we could note that point also, that going back to the very first page of the overview book, the titles of the 7 chapters are listed out there. Earthly, that was that Brahman and that king. Heavenly, it was Indra and Brahma. Then beyond material nature, it was mainly Lord Shiva. And then devotee, those who are really on the platform of pure devotional service. Then it was, that was Thursday, Prahlad and Hanuman. But now, this chapter is titled Dia, or Dear Devotee. Not just a devotee, but a very dear devotee, a special devotee, on a higher level of pure devotional service. So that is what this chapter is titled then, chapter 5, Dear. Especially dear devotee, or devotees in fact, the Pandavas. So Narada Muni then, he races into Hastinapur, that is point one, that is covering verses 1, 2, and 3 in the book. So he comes racing in and he finds here is Maharaj Yudhisthira. He is the leader of the Pandavas, and he and Arjuna and Bhima and various other relatives and close associates, they're all sitting together, scheming, thinking, discussing. What? They're thinking, how can we get Krishna to come back here from Dwarka? We got to think of something. And someone is suggesting, well, little while ago, we did the Rajasuya sacrifice, and he...